You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog Pound, if you're looking for a Browns pregame party, come to Dog Pound Drive. You'll see Matt Wilhelm there
on
the pregame radio. You'll see me doing some pregame TV. It's back. The party kicks off 3 hours before every Browns home game on the south side of First Energy. Beer, food trucks, music, DJs, live bands.
It's a blast. More. It is a blast. They're giving away free drinks. Jack Daniels is down there. Come on. No shots, though. No shots.
It's like an adult Browns Disneyland.
It is. And if there were any place that I would want to post up besides the Muni lot, it would be Dog Pound Drive because the people watching is amazing.
I was just going to say that. You read my mind.
Maybe we should work together more often.
Maybe we should.
Push! 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 Push!
Yes! One guy who was pleased with the bounce back of his unit in week number two is defensive coordinator Jim O'Neill. He spoke with the media today.
All right, I'm going to start out by giving a shout out here to the Strongsville 7 and under soccer team. They're undefeated. My wife's doing a hellacious job with the defense, and my son's kicking some butt, so they're doing a great job. As far as we're concerned here, it was great to get the first win. I thought that the guys did a great job starting fast, and then the Dog Pound got into it, and that energy is awesome to play in front of. And we got to do the same thing this week. The Oakland Raiders are going to be a big challenge for us, and we got to start fast, and we got to get the Dog Pound into it and get those guys rocking like they were last Sunday. Questions?
How many goals did your kid get?
He's a defensive guy. He's got a defensive mentality just like his dad. So we got the O'Neill connection back there on the defensive side of the 50.
Hey, how encouraging was the pressure you were able to generate last week on Mariota and sacks?
It was good. You know, I think that I think we got him into some obvious pass situations, and then we knew that if we were able to do that, then we could do some stuff to try to confuse him. And I thought our guys did a great job up front winning, and then I thought our blitzers did a great job getting home when we did send guys. So it was encouraging.
When you faced Derek Carr last year, so when you see him on film this year, what do you see as a different quarterback?
Very confident. He's got a very strong arm. They're moving him a lot. It's a totally different scheme than what they did last year. He's obviously got some new toys on the outside to play with, but he's playing really well right now.
How important is that for a quarterback to get those dynamic receivers like Cooper and Bradley?
Well, I'm sure it's big. You know, if you have guys that can make plays on the outside.
Guy like a car
and break down how he looks in home games and how he looks with specific nuances in road games.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that we look at. You know, they're three big games so far this season have all been at home, their third preseason game, and then both the first two games. But he was a guy we went against last year. Like I said, it's a new system. So you don't know exactly how they're going to be on the road and how the noise will affect them and what their plan is with silent cadence and some of that kind of stuff. But again, you know, we do go back to some of last year's stuff. We do study some of the stuff that the offensive coordinator did when he was in Philly. But, you know, you can only put so much stock into that stuff because it was last year, different team, different system.
Yeah, that's a pretty impressive stats. I don't think he takes a bunch of sacks. His interception totals low and his red zone numbers are good. Like, what about him and maybe some of those stats impresses you the most?
I think that the scheme, they like I said, they do a good job getting him on the move. They move the launch point for him. They give him a lot of quick outs in the pass game. So if he is getting pressure, very similar to what the Jets did with Fitzpatrick in week one, they have a lot of hot throws built in for him. And he's doing a good job seeing it. You know, he is. He's doing a great job reading the defenses, getting the ball out. He's got a quick release. So, I mean, it's a good group. It is. It's going to be a challenge for us.
Mike Pettine said he saw some encouraging signs from Gilbert recently at practices and meetings. What's your take on him right now, and how do you incorporate him to get him on the field and do something?
You know, he's back. He's healthy. He's had a good week now of practice. I'm hoping that continues. If that continues the rest of this week, I'm sure in Coach Pettine's mind he'll be in the running to be up. You know, he's in that competitive battle with some of those other guys. So right now, for the first 2 weeks, he's been a good player that's been down for us. So if he continues to practice the way he has been, he's making a case for himself. And if he's up, we'll use him.
Sorry, could you address from a defensive standpoint what a guy with the speed of a Travis Benjamin, the challenges that brings to a defensive coordinator?
It's hard because, you know, you probably got to put a safety over the top, you know, to protect him a little bit deep. And if you're doing that, you're usually lightening the box in the run game. So, you know, our offense is doing a good job also moving Trav around. So that creates problems, because if you just don't know where a guy's going to be, you can't always say, all right, hey, we're just going to have a safety over top of him. So it definitely presents issues when you got a vertical threat guy that has made plays like Trav has so far this year.
What did you see enough in John Hughes last year, who wasn't on the field a whole lot? You guys decided to re-sign him in the offseason. What do you like about him that you thought that you absolutely had to keep him around?
John Hughes, the belt winner this week?
Yes.
Rock solid technique-wise. You know, we talk about play like a Brown. You know, he embodies all those attributes that we talk about. And great person. And you can just always count on John to fill up the grade sheet with pluses. You know, does his job and allows a lot of other guys around him to make plays. And John obviously made his plays this past week. He did a great job for us.
Is he more usually going to set up other people to make plays? Obviously he had
a... I think John's going to make the plays that come to him, because he's going to be exactly where he's supposed to be. And then, you know, a couple of his tags last week came because he got great knock him back and cut the play in half, or he took two at the point of attack in the run game and allowed a linebacker to run through for a TFL. So, I mean, John's going to cause production for himself and for other people.
The perimeter run defense.
Yep.
You don't have great edge setters here. That's obvious. Do you find yourself scheming week to week to try to cover that up?
No, I mean, I know that we need to be better, okay? To me, it was really two plays we were bad on this past week that accounted for over 60 yards. One of them was probably not a great call. I was chasing a play. I didn't put the guys in great position, and then we had a couple guys that weren't very good on that play. That was the 40-yard run. And then on another play, we had a new coverage in that we busted, and we lost the edge. So I don't know if you can sit there and put that on the guys that are playing outside backer right now and say that we don't have great guys to set the edge. I do think that we're doing things this year that we weren't doing last year in the run game. I know that the numbers don't support that, and I get you guys on that one, but I see us going the right way with it. I see things on tape that are going to lead to us having a successful game, all right, against the rush. I mean, we don't want to let anybody rush for over 100 yards on us. Okay, that's our goal. And again, we got to take away those two or three big plays out of each game, and if we do that, we'll be damn good.
Does that change your philosophy as far as the pass rush at all? You got a quality second-year quarterback.
Every one of our game plans is going to be game plan specific to what the offensive scheme is, what the offensive personnel is, who the quarterback is. But, you know, we want to be a team that puts pressure on the quarterback. It doesn't matter who it is. You know, we don't want to let quarterbacks sit back there and I'd be able to identify these four are rushing every time, or these three are rushing every time, and feel comfortable in the pocket.
James, Amari Cooper's style relative to some of the other good wideouts in the league you would have to prepare for?
I don't want to compare him, but he's very good. I mean, he doesn't look like a rookie. He's got very good level one skills, level two, and level three skills. He's got very good change of direction. Very good catching the ball, high pointing it. He's a good one. He's gonna be a very good player in this league.
Jim, I know it's outside of the ball, but what impressed you about Khalil Mack when he was coming out of the draft last year? Just if you happen to see what he's doing now.
Yeah, athletic ability, how versatile he is. You know, pass rush ability. I mean, he was a three down outside backer. You know, we liked him a lot in the draft. You know, kind of a prototype outside backer in a 3-4 defense.
Was it more because you guys had just drafted Mingo the year before that was probably not something where you were going to go?
That's That's a good question for Pett or Ray Farmer.
On his low snaps, was that more product
of his sore knee or just the snaps were going to go to Bryant and Kruger because of their skills against?
No, I think when we look back on it, we wish we would have played Mingo a little bit more. We probably gave Paul too much. I think when your best pass rusher is on the field for 70 plays, and of course throughout the course of a game, that's probably a little high, especially when you get into those critical drives at the end of the game. You want those guys to be fresh, and you know Paul's a guy that we're going to count on to make big plays for us at the end of the game. So we got to do a better job as a coaching staff taking some reps on them in some of those early drives, early quarters.
And outside linebacker. I mean, we saw the sacks, but also setting that edge in the run game.
Well, I think the kid's done a great job with the transition. I think Anthony Weaver and Brian Fleury, who's now coaching them, have done a great job developing the talent there. He's got a very natural ability in pass rush just to kind of slip the soft shoulder and get skinny and make plays. I think he's shown great improvement in the run game. I think that'll continue to come. I think that playing the run on the edge is easier than what we were asking him to do last year when we were aligning him inside and he was fighting double teams and all. So, you know, it's something we identified as a coaching staff when we went back last year in the offseason with the cut-ups and thought that he could be a better player for us on the outside. And we made the move, and he still has some inside-outside flexibility for us. If we ever got in a pinch in a game and, you know, a guy got injured inside, we could slide him. Or if we want to take advantage of a mismatch and slide him inside in passing situations. So, again, he's one of those versatile guys that we like in our defense that it's a problem for offenses because we can align him in a lot of different spots.
Didn't look like Joe Hayden could have done anything better than he did on that one. Green Beckham TD did it.
Yeah, ball's over the middle. We're in zone coverage. Rush has to get there. You know, the quarterback threw a really nice ball high. That guy's huge. So, but Joe had a really good game for us. He had an outstanding game. There were times where Joe played so well at level one when he's pressed on guys that a wideout never even got into his route because Joe did such a good job right at the line of scrimmage on, which was great to see, which was great. But, no, I really like how he came back week two.
That was defensive coordinator Jim O'Neill. An update from the practice field. Multiple reports are that Justin Gilbert, who we heard was quote-unquote going to be in the running to be active, the eighth overall pick in the 2014 NFL draft, in the running to be active now that he's healthy, isn't healthy. So it looks like the decision might be out of their hands. Right hamstring appears to be heavily wrapped. He limped off the field and has not returned to practice and has that leg wrapped up. So Justin Gilbert doesn't look like he will be a factor once again against the Oakland Raiders. I guess the good news is it doesn't put everybody in a tough situation of having to decide whether or not he's active or inactive. If he can't go, he can't go.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm worried about winning and losing football games. I'm not worried about where our draft picks are panning out right now. I've talked for 5 months leading up to the regular season about Justin Gilbert, and right now he's not part of my conversation.
That's true. Until there's a reason for him to be a part of the conversation, he's not. Just unfortunately, you did hear some positive things from the coaches. You don't know if that was coach speak or not. It was out of practice, but it's unfortunate. It sounds like that hamstring, right hamstring. Now he just got back from the hip flexor. Now a right hamstring injury, it seems like, for Justin Gilbert. I'm sure we'll get more updates on that from the Browns as the week progresses. All right, when we come back, we're going to hear from the quarterbacks. Josh McCown, Johnny Manziel, two guys on the opposite side of Mike Pettine's decision to go with the veteran, the 36-year-old Josh McCown, who will make his second start as a member of the Cleveland Browns this Sunday against the Oakland Raiders. We'll hear from those two when we come back on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.